You guys still there?
Yep. Sorry. Okay. Hold on.
It dropped off so dramatically. I was sure that I had lost you.
He's recording right now.
Welcome to AE Double Back, the Bloodsport edition. We are covering the Bloodsportening. Yeah, that's what we should have called it. We're covering Bloodsport 5 this week, just because why not? Because we can.
Let's bookend this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the heels of the Josh Barnett interview, go ahead and listen to that in the feed. It's there. Or a Bloodsport 4 review. It's there. Go do it.
It's going to stay there unless he comes to his senses and demands that we take it down.
And if you're in any way curious about what the hell we're talking about, just go watch it. Go to bloodsport.watch. You can still watch 4 and 5. Go do it. It's worth it.
It's Gustav.
It's Gustav.
So I have to say, this first match of the night, I was really looking forward to, because it's between Bad Dude Tito and Calder McCall. And the reason why I was looking forward to it more than any other is because earlier that day, we engaged them in a little Twitter feud between the Calders and the Titos. And it was so funny. And they had such, you know, they were really good sports, and they were just being so funny about it too. loved it.
They were being, and you know, I was invested in this match and in Calder McCall's match in the previous show, and I've spoken about that, and I amped it up. I expressed public solidarity with Calder McCall, and specifically, and this is bad form, tagged both Calder and Bad Dude Tito, little realizing what long lasting enmity it would spark. And wrestling loves The Simpsons. This is coming up again and again. And it really is illuminating about, like, what else is there when guys that, you know, have this intensity and this aggression and this starkness to their combat sports, like, career, like, they were so silly and so game to horse around.
I have to say, if nerddom was a blue circle and wrestling was a red circle, that Venn diagram would just be a single purple circle.
You know what I mean? So many wrestlers want to be comedians and vice versa. but even still, like, you don't always get wrestlers who are willing to, like, fuck around online and just be silly and fun, because, like, you know, their thing is, like, I'm big, scary guy. That's how they make money, is I'm big, scary guy. Buy my t-shirt because I'm big and scary. And if they're like, we got to get into, like, Simpsons quote offs. Like, I feel like some people are going to get turned off, but you know what? Both these guys, Bad Dude Tito, Calder McCall, cool as hell. So,
oh my, that's something that, it goes without saying, endears you severely to anyone in entertainment, if they are really responsive, and these guys were, and you know, as if that wasn't enough, they put on a hell of a match here to open up the show. It was fast. They were closely matched, like, the whole way, in a promotion where that's not necessarily always true, because they'll definitely have somebody get ripped up pretty quick sometimes. For the sake of surprise. But in this case, it was quite entertaining right off the bat.
Yeah, I feel like it did move really quickly, which is plays to Calder's advantage. Calder McCall, that is.
You gotta clarify.
Yeah, please. I beg
people
you.
Could be confused and like, wait a minute, is the guy talking right now? The guy who fought? He's really good.
In a way, all Calders were in the ring for this one.
All Calders and all Tito's. Tito even like tagged like Tito Vodka and all kinds of stuff. It was hysterical. Anyways,
the Tito army did not show up, but that's okay.
Yeah, the Calders did. Matched,
and because McCall seemed to have more of a advantage when things were moving faster, Tito, it looked, I mean, they were both looking exhausted, but I think they were so well matched. They were so good at dealing with each other's holds and things like that. But just Tito couldn't keep up the pace and just, I think that's what happened. I think he got exhausted towards the end.
Yeah.
But
exhausted by the hordes of Calders that
held fast and lasted longer and was able to get that final hold and won. I gave it a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although honestly, to me, the in-ring action is not at all important. What I need to know is who has the better entrance music.
Yes.
So like that's what we're gonna have to decide.
Okay.
First off, let's hear Calder McCall.
Back here now for GCW Presents Josh Barnett's Blood.
You know, you got a
Josh, you got big matchup here.
Nice.
Calder McCall, victorious last time.
Techno.
You have to describe it because I can't hear what you're playing.
There it is.
Oh, you can't hear it at all?
I heard something play very belatedly there at the end.
Hold on. Let me do this again. Because if you can't hear it, then we'll just ditch it. But. Tell me if you can hear this.
Yeah, now I can hear it.
Yeah.
Back here now for GC.
Okay, then I think the problem is it's like Zoom. It's doing that thing when it's changing the level. So if we talk, then it makes it quiet. So I'll just play it for, you know, like 5 or 10 seconds. We'll listen to it, and then I'll do the next one, and then we can just like kind of talk about it real quick. So
Okay.
Yeah. I will shut my goddamn mouth.
Back here now for GCW Presents Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. And Josh, big matchup here. Yo, to start off the festivities. Calder McCall, victorious last time out. We'll take on Bad Dude.
That feels very, what was that? What was that? Hover racing game from the PS1 back in the 90s.
PS1, I don't know. I was going to say F-Zero or whatever it was from N64.
Wipeout. I think it was called Wipeout. It was just had this amazing techno soundtrack that we blasted for years after the game. You know,
the only Wipeout I'm familiar with, I think, is a driving game, like arcade game.
I'll track it down. Sorry. But yeah, 90s please. Techno. It's right in my wheelhouse. I love that. It's great. Wait,
the beat sounded to me like it was from 99 Problems, which is pretty great.
Here's Bad Dude Tito.
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and wrestling. Bad Dude Tito has been spending a ton of time working on his Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu game as we see him walking in the ring. Always known for his toughness and his grittiness, that street fight type mentality, but this guy's got a ton of skill behind him.
Well, I know you're really impressed with him. Moves into Super Beast.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That was so awesome.
Yeah.
It sounds like some 90s punk band, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, kind of. Like a Southern California, largely Hispanic punk band. It's like pulling in some great Mexican bandera influences with horns and stuff like that, and then just kicks in like
but the 90s punk scene though was like flooded with third wave ska, so don't even get on this topic with me because I'll go down a really serious rabbit hole.
I think
had more to do with the ska influence at the time than anything else.
I really shut down when people start talking about ska. I really have no
idea. I love anything with horns, like anything with horns.
I have no idea what anyone is talking about. I completely miss ska.
The important thing is who wins this music face-off, well, Tito or Calder?
I would have to say Tito because, like, again, that's just – it speaks to me on a level I can't describe. Even though that that specific period of music isn't my favorite as far as, like, that punk rock and ska and stuff, that's not my favorite. But I still appreciate it on a level that I can't describe.
Calder.
Yeah, I hate to go against Calder, but Tito has a real banger. That one is pretty great. And I like them both, but that one, like, really grabs you.
Yeah, I think it's unanimous. Tito wins this one hands down.
Ooh, so he lost the match, but he wins the music face.
Good for you, Tito. Good for you.
Next, we've got, oh my God, this one was hilarious. Not hilarious, but I just have to say. So it's Nolan Edwards versus Calvin Tankman. And the first words out of my mouth were like, well, he has a date with a brick wall. Like, there's no fucking way. If Davey Boy Smith Jr. has a hard time with Tankman, then there's no fucking way Nolan Edwards is going to take this guy down.
Quite unfortunate for Nolan.
Well, and here's the thing. Nolan Edwards, not a small man.
No.
And yet, I wrote tiny before his name because these past two pay-per-views, that's what they've done. They've put in him a normal-sized human being against monsters.
Yeah.
So
Tankman must have like 200 pounds on him.
I mean,
170.
He absorbed a lot of fucking punches and strikes. So that I will give to Nolan. Like, he's able to seriously take a fucking beating and stay standing. But, like, you know, this is a really interesting match. It's always kind of fun to see, like, big man, little man type matches like this. Mm-hmm. The ref ended up calling it because Edwards apparently looked knocked out to him. Edwards looked seriously pissed off afterwards, probably because he's pissed at the ref's call because he maybe thought he had a lot more fight in him, and maybe he did. But, you know, you're not going to do anyone any good when you're concussed, you know?
Yeah.
But I did like his music. So if we have that.
Oh, of course we do. And this was one of the ones that, like, I could actually figure out.
Yeah. I love this one.
His music is
when I think of all the worries people seem to find, and how they're in a hurry to complicate their minds by chasing after money and dreams that can't come true, I'm glad that we are different, we've better things to do.
The that song is
Let's Live
Grassroots
for Today.
Yeah.
By the Grassroots.
Fucking pretty great. Amazing. It's a great song.
I can totally see that being a straight edge anthem too. Not that it is. It isn't one, but, like, being that he's like some straight edge punk kid, like, yeah, I can see that.
And this is Calvin Tankman's music. Mm-hmm. It's Tupac.
Always a good choice.
Machiavellian is Illuminati all through your body. The blow's like a 12-gauge shot.
Feel me? And God said he should send his one begotten son to lead the wild into the ways of the man. Follow me. Eat my flesh, flesh of my flesh. Come with me. Hail Mary, run quick, see. What do we have here now?
I mean, yeah.
This is really hard.
I love Tupac, but I have to give it to Nolan on this one because I just love that song.
Calder?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess Tupac.
Okay. Yeah, I'm torn because both of these songs are perfect for their wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give it to Tankman, but I think I have to give it to Edwards just because it's like you don't hear that. That's not the kind of music you hear.
Not typical.
It's like when Mankind used to come out to that like piano music, and you're like, oh my goodness, the other guy was like, rah, 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 I'm going to kill you. Mm. And this guy's like, I'm going to do things to you in a basement that will make you wish you were dead. Mm. Like, oh, okay. Well, I'm even more terrified. There we go. So
this is like two in a row now where the person who won the match did not win the music match. And I just have to say, in case anyone's curious, I thumbed up every single match. I there wasn't anything I didn't like. So if we're doing that, just put me down for thumbs up for the whole thing.
You know what? I think we might not even bother because I think I gave one match like a middle.
Yeah.
So like, meh. You know what? The show's worth watching.
Yeah.
Stand off the top of the bat. Just go see the show. Watching.
Well, I thumbs it down across the board. So.
Oh, you. Oh, caller. The next match. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
This is what I was here for. Like these two are among my favorites from the first pay-per-view. So coming into it, I'm like, well, this is the main event. I don't know why you put it third, but this is what I'm here for.
Cal Jack, the Grizzly. This shit is fucking great. I have to say, Super Beast took it up a notch, took it up a notch for me coming out in what can only be described as a Guar outfit. Like he's like a fifth alternate on their roster. I
put that in my notes too. Guar.
Like that's either Guar or he looks like someone who's fighting me for the last drops of water on Earth. You know what I mean? I was gonna put
Road Warriors because that would be the correct professional wrestling reference.
Yeah.
But it looks a little cartoony, so I had to put Guar because it's like okay, yeah, we're a little over.
Because I was watching it for a while again yesterday, I'm going to place him in Exterminators of the Year 3000, an excellent Italian Mad Max ripoff.
Fair.
This is, okay, Super Beast does a tornado kick, which right there, I'm like, I didn't know this like hulk of a body could do something like that. That's incredible. But I mean,
we don't know very much about him.
Cal keeps being able to slam him to the ground. And, you know, with that amount of weight, getting slammed to the ground probably knocks the breath out of you no matter what you try to do. So I do think that that played to his advantage because Cal ended up winning. But walking away from the ring, Super Beast still looks like an insane badass. So, like, there are no real losers here.
No.
But Cal Jack was the decided champion.
Ideally, every professional wrestling match ends up with both fighters more over than when they got in.
Yeah.
If you can do that regularly, you're winning. And this was amazing. There were some gut wrench throws that I was like, how are you doing that?
Yeah.
Because they're both ginormous.
Oh, man. And Super Beast is so big, but and like I understood that Cal Jack was big in his previous match in four, but watching him dwarf Super Beast was quite something. And watching somebody like do things to Super Beast like he did in this one, like he made him pass out at one point. Which, like,
Like, the ref's like, or one of the commenters, I don't remember if it was Josh or Max, but they were like, he went limp. That's not good.
I mean, that's why you got to take your Cialis, Super Beast.
One of the things that I especially like about this match is that it's two giant guys going at it, which is what most people come to see. It's the heavyweights that put butts in seats. Two ginormous people, and you're like, oh my god, they're just pound, pound, pound. And so there was, a bunch of stuff that looked like it really hurt. There were a bunch of throws that were like amazing. But the important thing, because it comes into play later, I'm going to mention, is that despite all of that huge, you know, pro wrestling kind of like throwy stuff, he goes out by a choke, and he, you know, passes out, which like feels like a real, you know, MMA contest. Like, so when you kind of get like knocked out in a professional wrestling way, like when someone punches someone and they fall down, you're like, I get that. When someone like throws them and then the ref says, oh, okay, well, that's too much, it feels a little off. And this match ending with a choke was like, you got the best of all of that. You've got the huge moves, and then you know, had like what looked like a real legitimate finish. And so, like, all thumbs up. I just thought it was fantastic.
All thumbs. Yeah, yeah.
All
yeah.
of them. Every last one of them.
Now let's get to the music match. Who wins the music mm-hmm. match?
This is going to be hard. Super Beast.
Back here.
Whoop. Nope.
The Super Beast, that's kind of a ripoff.
Yeah. What a... Yeah.
Next up here on Bloodsport, these are two guys that kind of fit the same division. Two guys that were really impressive in the last event. Looking to get a big feather in the cap. I mean, you can get the Super Beast. We don't know a lot about him. We do know he is tough as nails.
I am just a sucker for, you know, just give me like,
yeah.
I'm going to love it all day long. It fits him and it's also awesome. And I will listen to it. And I mean, part of the reason why we're doing this is because we want to get a little, give a push to them eventually putting out an album of entrance musics.
Ooh,
and I'm
yeah.
sure it's super hard because you have to, you know, get cleared from all these different labels and all this jazz. And, but still, it would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We could at least make a Spotify playlist.
Sure.
I mean, if I could figure out what some of these songs are.
Do you have Shazam?
I tried it and we didn't have any luck. I'll try it again.
With the over talking, and it is played kind of quiet in that space, so it's hard to figure it out if you don't already know what it is.
Yeah. Here's the other song, which is Chef's Kiss.
Over the mountain to see what he could see. Hey! The other side of the mountain was all that he could see. So he went back over the mountain to see what he could see.
Huh. Is that green jello?
Yes, it was green jello. I had completely forgotten about this song,
right?
Because it's been so long.
Not,
but
that was not the green jello song that I remembered well.
Yeah, that's this.
Yeah,
is,
it's not the hair by my chinny chin chin one.
I think this was
rocks
the second.
Goddamn hard.
It did, and so does this song. Like the first time I heard it, I was like, "What is this goofy shit?" And then this time, I'm just like, "This is like it, again." It fits him perfectly because he's this enormous beast of a man who seems like he's a fun-loving dude to boot. He wears a big, silly, you know, bear head, but he's still scary. So like that is. That's the ideal.
Man, this is a tough one because I do love the music that Super Beast came out to. Caljack being able to pull out green jello like that is really,
I mean,
you know, like
a lot
metal,
of credit for that.
Metal mm-hmm. doing the like starting to go down the silly road during that period of time, just like having random bands that were like kind of silly here and there. Similar mm-hmm. to like, you know, you have the Toy Dolls, which I fucking love the Toy Dolls. And, but they're like the silly version on the punk side, which is tons of silly punk bands also. But mm-hmm. this was the first silly, like there's MOD, you know, and I don't know, I can't think. At the top of my head, some others, but green jello, I have to give it as, and I'm going to call it green jello, not green jelly.
No.
Fuck you, Jello Corporation.
It's green jello. And I'll always,
yeah, it'll always be green jello.
I am impressed by the pull, on green, jello jelly. But I think, I like listening to Super Beast music better.
This is another one where both songs are perfect. They're also perfect for the wrestler. So I have to go with Cal Jack because it's a little more off the beaten path.
Mm-hmm.
Like Super Beast music, almost anybody could come out to it and you'd be like, yeah, that's great. But like, this is it Cal Jack is the only person so in the universe who that could work for. So yeah, I got to give it to him by just a smidge. Yeah, I hate voting against Super Beast for anything. All
by
right?
the hair of his me. Chinny chin chin. Buddy. He wins like, the music match.
Like you just don't know what Super Beast might, you know, we don't know anything about him. We don't know where he may be and what he may be listening to at any moment. We don't know how he's going to react to that. So like why test fate?
Well, he might come back with some cool ass shit next time.
You know, he probably listens to the Grassroots Let's Live for Today at home. Then when he got there, he found out that Nolan Edwards already had it. And he was like, this is bullshit. This was my jam. How could you do this to me? Fine. Give me this.
Whatever you have in the booth is fine. How many times have we said that?
Oh, man.
I did always like pulling music for people.
Oh, boy. That was doing tech for a sketch team sucks. But it to the extent that there is any reward at all, and there is very little, for a lot of very unpleasant late night work. But something I did enjoy was the fact that most people didn't give a shit what music followed their sketch. And so I would get to pick. And I enjoyed doing that.
It is, it's an art.
it was one that involved
me. We've got Ryan Coughlin versus Royce Isaacs.
Alex
Coughlin. Yeah.
Young Lion, Alex Coughlin.
Young Lion.
Yeah, I said Ryan Coughlin.
No.
Lion.
Alex, he was Young Lion.
Young Lion.
Alex Coughlin? His name's not Ryan?
Mm-mm.
Why did I write down Ryan?
Probably because you smashed up Young Lion in your head, and also because of Ryan Nemeth, and you were like, oh, right. There's a guy that is wrestling that I know.
All right. Alex Coughlin. God. Okay. Versus Royce Isaacs. Maybe I started writing. I don't know. What the fuck? Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Royce messed it up.
All I
you
know
had
is-
two R's in your head.
This is a very well-matched pair.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really fast. There's pretty fast movement through the whole thing. Coughlin is really good. I mean, he wrestled McCall last week, so you know he's really good, and he definitely put up a fight.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say. It was just really technically proficient. I was having a hard time seeing what advantage either of them had over the other. But eventually, Isaacs did win. And then Isaacs went to shake Coughlin's hand and pushed him away. He was just
hurtful.
Pissed off. I think the last move looked like, it was like put so much pressure on the back, but mostly on the neck.
Yeah.
It just kind of stretched him out like that. And maybe he was pissed that he went for his injury. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Maybe Coughlin was like, fuck you, man. You know, I just came back from a neck injury.
This was something that for sure is an example of how stuff gets intensified when you put it kind of in a certain balance so that like it was just so it was so much more powerful that somebody was unhappy with somebody following a match when there was a legitimate amount of good sportsmanship and respect after these matches that like somebody would not accept the hand of their opponent afterwards. I'm like, come on, man, be cool.
This match is full of little things like that really speak to how this is different from AEW, WWE kind of professional wrestling, where a lot of the tropes are sort of in place and you don't really think about it. And sometimes they kind of take them for granted. And you're like, oh, I did the DQ thing, whatever. Or this thing about like shaking the hand, you know, like it makes a difference when, you know, like down the line, you sort of see people, you know, being respectful to each other. This is a fight. This is a competition. Mm-hmm. This is not like all of the theatrics of professional wrestling. But then you have something like this. It's like, oh, there's like a genuine beef here because they're not shaking hands. And
it
like
could build
like,
to a rematch. Yeah.
Yeah. It tells those stories in an interesting way.
And that was, and what I, apart from the little stuff aspect of it, like something that's just really a treat about Bloodsport is seeing what someone you thought you knew can do. So Royce Isaacs was somebody who I watch on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, and you're watching just a different product, and you're watching it with like, you know, there's a different taste at play, and there are perhaps different sorts of talents and levels of talents that are involved in it, so that somebody may be limited or, you know, may not be, but to see what Royce Isaacs can do like in this setting was really cool for me.
I liked that they did this thing where Royce Isaacs had Coughlin in, I think it was a leg lock or something like that, and Coughlin pulls himself out of the ring to break the hold.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of a variation on the going under the ropes or grabbing the ropes. And so like, oh, cool. Yeah, we have this other option available to us, you know, ways to do stuff. Coughlin reversed a gut wrench into something that looked like a doctor bomb, like a power bomb. It was scary and awesome. I love that. It was interesting that Josh did a thing on commentary, was like, I think this match is over, when he somebody got someone into a hold, and that popped out to me because like, oh right, that's specifically a professional wrestling thing, because in MMA that just doesn't happen. They don't say that because you don't have finishers in MMA, really. Like, some people are good at, you know, some things or whatever, but you don't have like the one last ride power bomb that you do that always finishes a match, that is part of your character. And like, I mean, it's weird if you don't finish a match that way.
Yeah, stuff like can exist like that. Ronda Rousey always won with an arm bar, but it's obviously not the same thing.
Yeah, because she was just friggin' good at it. People were like built up defenses to her specific armbar, and she still would just like run roughshod over them. That was pretty neat while it lasted.
It was. If she would have gotten out like a couple matches sooner, like the mystique would have been so pristine. But nonetheless, I liked Royce Isaacs already, but Alex Coughlin is very easy to begin liking, seeing him for the first or second time. He is so intense. He is a powerful personality. Yeah. Not even, you know, in this fights only almost, like kind of a show, that so much still comes through from him. Like he has like just a very like powerful, nearly overwhelming presence, which is super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strong energy.
But of course, none of this matters.
No.
Let's get to the music.
You know what matters.
Metal drums.
Next up here on Bloodsport, it is going to be Alex Coughlin, Royce Isaacs. Very athletic young guy. This is a guy I know you're very high on, John.
Boy, man, Coughlin coming off of...
Oops. Okay, that was Alex Coughlin's music, which
the the second music, or that was all one piece?
No, the first one is the death metal kind of like...
Okay.
The second one is this one.
Being sidelined from a neck injury, getting back in the ring, losing in a valiant effort against J.R. Kratos, and he's just more fired up. Like, it really isn't bringing his spirits down one bit, as we see Royce Isaacs coming to the ring, all business, game face on Isaacs, and he knows.
So it seems like Isaac's music has a more anthem-y type feel. Like, it's really...
It feels very Cradle of Filth, like there's a symphonic element to it.
Yeah, it's really full, and, you know, it can fill a space, and it's just has more of an epic feel to it. Whereas Coughlin's music is real thrashy, got those insane metal drums going. you know, it's going to pump you up. It's going to pump up a crowd. It's going to pump up the wrestler.
It's going to pump you up.
I like the two coming together like that. You know, here's one guy who clearly has an enormous, crazy energy. And we've seen that in two matches now with Ryan Coughlin. And that is his music. And it totally makes sense. And then we have Royce Isaacs, who kind of looks like a maniac in his promo photo. And he is with that type of music. It's like more of like a, it's like you're walking out a little slower, but it's like you're, it's like an anthem, you know, it pumps you up in a different way, like on a cellular level, every bit of your body can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
That was my reaction to that. So
yeah, Royce Isaacs has like a, Isaacs. Oh, sorry. Isaacs for you.
Oh, just saying Isaacs? Isaacs for you.
Okay. Yeah, I have to agree. It's grand and sweeping and pleasant to the ears. Alex Coughlin's music sounds like the neighbor boys are playing it out of the garage next door unreasonably late. And you know, I wanted to stop. I'm tired. I'm tired.
That's gonna be my tag team, the neighbor boys.
Oh, I thought it was going to be, I wanted to stop.
The neighbor boys would be an outstanding tag name.
Right? Put them up against the Bushwhackers.
Yeah. You don't know what the neighbor boys might do. they might bash your mailbox over.
I am torn because I do like Isaac's music. I am voting for Coughlin just because, like, yeah, you know what? I like a little just a little grindcore. Just give it to me.
It does pump you up. It totally makes sense for him as a personality too.
That characterization of it just sounds like a dog trying to fight a blender.
Maybe
this is,
you know, who wins in that one? Blender every time. Sorry, I totally talked over you.
It's fine. It's fine.
We've got Alex Grimm versus Rocky Romero. Now, this is Rocky Romero's debut.
Simon
Grimm. That what you did?
What'd you say?
Did you say Alex Grimm?
I did. What happened?
Oh, you took poor Alex, dropped him over onto Simon, and then Ryan just slipped in with the young lion thing. Happened here.
I don't know what the hell. Well, you guys, let's just call it a day. Simon Grimm.
What day is today? Right? What day is it?
Normally, I wouldn't mind so much, but Simon Grimm is one of my absolute favorites.
Yeah,
so,
I don't want to.
One of your favorites.
One of my favorites. I demand his get respect.
It's Rocky Romero's debut. He didn't perform last week, so this is interesting. He's very experienced. He's you know, known in the New Japan world. He's done tag team wrestling, things like this. And then, we have Simon Grimm, who's extremely proficient and did an incredible job last week. This looks like a really strategic match. It's like these guys are so well matched and so good at what they do, so good at subholds. It's like they're trying to, I mean, they seamlessly moved from one hold to the next, like knowing exactly how to slightly adjust certain things so that like one guy is, it was just so crazy to see how they can turn a disadvantage into an advantage. You know, like counter move for counter move for counter move. It was really hard to keep track of as someone who isn't as like aware of what types of holds these are. But you can tell when someone is, you know, getting it over on the other guy. But fuck, it was cool. It was really amazing.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say that I love the rhythm of this match. Mm-hmm. It felt a lot like when you see chain wrestling in a regular pro wrestling match, and it'll usually be like the first 15 seconds. They'll get together and they'll like trade, and counter, and they'll stand off and they'll do this and they'll face off. And everybody cheers because, you know, like that's a lot of fun. But it was almost like an entire match of that, which was great. In terms of moves, I was listening Josh brought up the Manji Katame. He called it the standing octopus hold, which is what you call it in English, because Manji Katame literally translates from Japanese as swastika hold.
Wow.
Oh my.
Which is fantastic. And if you like, you watch when it happens the second time, you're like, oh yeah, that look, that person looks like they're making a swastika with their body. Obviously, because it's Japanese, they're referring to the Asian form of the swastika, which is the opposite of the Nazis. But yeah, it makes sense that they would call it an octopus hold rather than get into the nuances of what.
That's an excuse for racism that you don't hear quite enough. I meant it in the Asian way.
Yeah, you know, like with the slanty eyes and all that. What do you all say? I don't understand what I'm doing wrong here.
That's one of those things. It's like the I do not have the tolerance for it that some people do. Like when you're like, well, you know, I'm gonna sort of try to lean into British like culture because that way you get to do the C word.
Yeah, I understand.
So this, you know, after we had that interview with Josh Barnett, I'm now obsessed with looking for where someone's trying to fuck up the joints. Cause my brain literally melted when he's like, if you turn a joint far enough, then it like can't really go back the other way.
Yeah.
Or at least not as well. And I'm like, that just fucking blows my mind. So this looked like they were doing some of that, you know, like I could definitely tell where they were trying to fuck up somebody's like ability to rotate.
This is like a kind of, it's subtle in a certain way. In a way, it's extremely spectacular, but it does not, there's not a curve like the way there might be for like submission, like holds that are broken up or reversed or whatever. But when you see somebody, you know, fucking with a knee or an elbow or a finger, like that is visceral. That is always going to play, and it's going to play like real quick and real intensely. And it's like, I don't know what else like quite yields that. You like, you can top rope, moonsault, do whatever, but there is a sense of unreality to it that is just not there with one of these like moves.
Yep.
I also want to point out, I was in the chat for this on Saturday, the live chat. If you watch the show at the appointed time, you can join the live chat on bloodsport.watch. And I recommend it. It's a lot of fun. Myself and some other people were joking that the shiny pants were a strategy to distract his opponent because Rocky Romero had some really shiny pants on.
Oh, man. The new shiny bun boys.
Oh, my God. If these guys tag team. I don't think that's a thing in Bloodsport yet, but it should be.
It could be.
Well, I do. I wonder if that's. I don't see why that would be a really neat addition to what they do. And I wish we would have talked about like whether you would do that or not. We didn't ask Josh about tag stuff particularly.
Tags?
Yeah.
I don't see how that would work.
Almost certainly not. There was a promotion once that tried to do. It was like 4-on-4 MMA, like two groups go at it, and it was terrible. It's a bad idea, and I would not recommend it.
It takes the focus away from what's actually happening, which tends to be smaller but more intense moves, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can't look at, like, two places at once for those types of subholds, you know?
It would be just, it would certainly be very odd, like to have tagging happening without ropes, like in between them. Like it would start to look an awful lot like doing a bottom tier, like improv show at a comedy theater where you're not on the main stage, you're on the secondary stage that is 1 inch off of the floor.
Wow, this is very specific in a way that I have no idea what you're talking about.
Possibly?
What? No. Well, come on.
Like every theater basically has that space. Like IO had like the loft and the former Andy. What did they start calling it? The Andy Dick Theater became the Del Close Theater.
The other one. Yeah.
but also the Inner Sanctum at UCB was the same situation.
And the treehouse at
People that were at these physical spaces don't give a shit, so I don't know why I'm
interested. Let's stop that line of let's stop this conversation. Let's do the music.
Back here on Bloodsport, there is Simon Grimm back on the mat in the cage, a veteran here, coming off a...
Is that Suicidal Tendencies? Who's that?
No, it's Mike V and the Rats, and the song's called Vendetta. Nice old school sound. Great. See, Rocky Romero's was...
debut Rocky Romero.
I was a king. But now I look forward to the future. As I send you crying down that road of Nakasuzo.
Eye patch wearing, nefariously daring, notorious, much more than glorious. Forever clotheslining like a minibus with a surplus of energy for all my enemies.
The jacket's gonna open a lot of eyes as Romero comes on out.
I don't know what the name of that song is, but I'm pretty sure that it is his specific entrance music. There's like references to Roppongi that I think are like he has a tag team, I want to say, Roppongi 3K. So like, like it's music for him specifically.
I have to give it to what's his face?
Wow. Okay. His name is Simon. Alex.
You know, that music was just really great for the brand of whoever it was. I don't remember his name.
Sorry, Simon Grimm. I have to give it to him.
Really? I give it to Rocky Romero.
I'm gonna go Simon just because I'm a Simon.
So
Grimm
Rocky stamp, so won the match, but Simon wins the music match.
Again,
I love Rocky. When that happens.
Rocky wins the eye patch game.
True, and if there's a competition for clotheslining, he's clotheslining like a minibus, which I don't think anybody can say that they do better than that.
I mean, a full size bus would be even like a school bus would be better.
That's ridiculous.
What about a city bus?
Calder.
Oh, yeah.
What about also, one of those city buses in Chicago that are connected in the middle? It's like two buses
and
one.
An articulated, they have those in L.A. On Wilshire Boulevard, you'll ride one of those. Oh, yeah.
You got them on the Orange Line, too?
The Orange Line.
Yes. You know what? I'm fine with taking this little detour into... L.A. Metro mass transit.
Why is this okay? And the other thing's not.
Anyway.
This was another like very like, you know, we already were all over it, but it was another super close match that was all about a lot of incremental small stuff. It was quite enjoyable.
Yeah, it's probably my second favorite match of the night.
Are you talking about Kratos versus Dickinson?
Grimm and Romero. Sorry.
Grimm Romero.
Kratos and Dickinson.
This is Ryan
Kratos. My brain
shorted
out for a second. My mom texted me. And I looked down for a split second and I'm like, wait, what world am I in right now? Okay. So yes, great match. Moving forward. We've got JR Kratos versus Chris Dickinson. Again, Kratos, New Japan, Muay Thai, Dickinson, Jiu-Jitsu, Karate, Stun, Bloodsport. He's main evented against Barnett, Moxley, and most recently, last week, he was up against Jeff Cobb. I mean, the guy is fucking scary. He's very intimidating. And Kratos is also, but like, I was not sure how it was going to go. But Dickinson he's just so good that I was thinking it probably would be his technical proficiency and his speed would probably win. Barnett made a comment about Kratos when he was coming out. He said, he's not just a glacier, you know, big, big, white and slow. I thought it was hilarious. So I had to make note of that.
Very funny.
In my notes, I have Dickinson down as head veins. I know he's not the only person who has veins on their head, but just every once in a while, I notice really him the poppin'. Most. Like when he's on the mat, and I'm like, this dude is so ripped that he has veins popping out of his head. Like, that's a scary dude.
I mean, like, there's no question that he has one of those, like, hyper-developed brains that makes your head all huge and gives you telekinesis and telepathy.
Like a Mars Attacks alien. Yeah, I get.
Like your
I know
brain
what you're talking
pulsates
about.
Pulsates and moves things around the room.
Oh yeah, boy, this was this whole show felt like it had more size. Not that the previous show had little, but like if very few people were not monstrously big, and this match was one of the numerous ones that was two very, very big men. And and I think Dickinson might have been more athletic, but it is surprising what Kratos still can do for just being this bulk.
It was like, kind of a crazy win. I mean, it went faster than I thought it would, honestly. But, you know, Dickinson was so full of vim and vigor that after he won, he did these split kick jumps, like he was just really happy. And I was like, that's also maybe he's so pumped, like how do you calm down, you know, you can't. And so it went probably faster than he thought it would too. I say that again, looking at it as though this is totally unpredictable.
This is professional wrestling.
I know,
which Dickinson made very clear as he screamed it at the camera. Also, Mox did it later on in the night. So I'm curious if that was like a thing that is like we're trying to brand it with this is professional wrestling, or if that just a weird coincidence, you know, just talking backstage about, you know, what this is. But yeah, interesting.
This is Kratos.
Highly anticipated matchup here on Bloodsport coming your way. We begin with J.R. Kratos. He'll be fighting Chris Dickinson. Kratos is a massive human.
I do really like that sort of hip hop beat, and then some like real heavy stuff laid over it. You know, some metal screams and shouting, and like, yeah, I dig that a lot.
Scary individual. And that tat on the cobra, certainly menacing as well. He may have twinkle toes, but he has shoulders that you could park a car on. He's big, but as again, he is underestimate his mobility at your own peril. But this guy, he's been there as well.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, I think that might be his own entrance music. I was looking around and I found some Chris Dickinson music that was sounded similar, so I couldn't quite tell. But
I have to go with Dickinson on this one. I like the chuggy, like metal, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'm not wild about either, but Dickinson is maybe a little better.
I'm going with Kratos. It's not a thing that I like to admit, but I like a lot of new metal. I like it. In concept, I was there, man. When Run DMC and Aerosmith first did, you know, the rap rock crossover, and then when Anthrax really made it a thing, like I'm the Man, I used to dance to that in my bedroom at my grandmother's house when I was, I don't know how old, but like dancing like nobody was watching. And so like when nu metal became a thing, I was like, oh yeah, hip hop and metal. Put these together, please. And most of the bands were terrible, just god awful. But there was some stuff, and just in general, yeah, I like the fusion of the two. So, neither here nor there.
We have Jeff Cobb versus Tom Lawler. I know I have those names right.
I was waiting. Ryan, Nick, Phil.
Again, Jeff
Cobb. Ed Ryerson.
Matt Ryerson. Bing. Jeff Cobb, Olympics for Guam. He's done New Japan, amateur wrestling, and he's also an Acme Safe. Tom Waller, 17 MMA fights, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, 3 NCAA titles. You know, Cobb can use his weight as an advantage, and Lawler really was trying to get him off of his legs by striking his legs as much as he could at the beginning there. Oh, man. It just looks so gnarly. And Cobb slams Lawler several times. It was a German suplex, I guess. And it looked real nasty. And then eventually had Lawler's arms up above his head and was squeezing, and Lawler had to tap. Now, something happened during this match, which also happened during the Moxley match. And when I was in the chat, it looked like someone lost a tooth. It looked like some white thing flew, right? Or something white-ish flew. And I said in the but nobody had bloody mouths. So I was like, did someone lose a tooth? And someone said, it's skin. And I never thought, and I don't know if it was, but both times the ref picked it up. So maybe it was just tape or something. I don't know. But it was the first time I thought to myself, is it fucking possible to skin another guy in these types of moves? They've got shoes on, right? So shoes could do it. Someone on tape possible. Rubbing up against your face. They're in there. So, God, I was like, that sounds even nastier than these other moves, because we all know what skinning a knee and all that kind of shit feels like. Sucks.
Not fun.
I personally have not been suplex, so I assume it sucks, but not I don't yet. Know the exact feeling, you know?
I will say oftentimes it is just phlegm or spittle, you know, and it can just the way it catches the light, it can look like a real solid thing, but you know,
because the ref people picks are. It up,
yeah, that's weird. It might be, and I haven't gone back to check. I think it's almost impossible because of the way this is set up. It's almost impossible that they're blading. Because when Mox gets cut open in the next match,
spoiler.
I was like, oh my God, is that that's hard way, isn't it? Jesus. Mm. It is possible that it is something tape or a blade or something like that that got flung out. And obviously if it was a blade, then you know the ref's gonna want to get that the F out of there immediately.
Else bled, you know, only yeah, in the last match, but not in this one.
Yeah, I have no idea what it
Know what I mean?
I don't know. I want it to be spit. It doesn't seem like it's spit. So I don't whatever it's, it is
either
horrifying
tape or
to me.
Skin. These are the options. Yeah,
I don't know how often you want something to be spit because it sounds because
I'm
that's
vanishing a small number of times.
That's something that in my experience in live performance, people are extremely repulsed to an inordinate degree by spittle. People really don't like it.
Here's the main difference between sketch comedy and professional wrestling / work shoots is that spit is a different level of desire in the audience. This is the only match that I kind of gave a thumbs in the middle to. I felt like the rhythm didn't quite work for me. Jeff Cobb basically kind of slow rolled the whole match, and at the very end he pulled out some wicked shit and won, but it also in the early going it felt kind of slow and lumbering, and especially coming after that Grim Romero match, I was like, I wanted to see a little bit more technical stuff. Jeff Cobb, I was delighted and saddened to learn that he hails from Hawaii.
Yeah.
Last year, when Joy Cliff put together that 50 States project, what's his name? Sufjan
Stevens.
Sufjan Stevens.
It's a yes.
I think that's Ryan Stevens.
Ryan Stevens. Sufjan. Thank you. He did that 50 States project and then bailed after two albums.
Yeah.
So our friend Joy Michigan Cliff, Illinois. Got a whole bunch of comedians and actual legit musicians to finish it.
Really?
We made, I think, actually 50 albums of music about each state, one for each state.
That's awesome.
I did a song for Hawaii called The Wrestlers of Hawaii, where I just started listing off all of the wrestlers who were from Hawaii, and Jeff Cobb was not on there.
Wow. So I'm
disappointed to not have included him in the song, but also like I love wrestlers from Hawaii. They're almost universally great. So
yeah, Jeff Cobb definitely is among those.
Mm-hmm.
He is a hell of a thing to watch, and Tom Lawler also, like, he's like Tom Lawler is like the Tom Noonan of wrestling, kind of, to me.
I don't understand.
I don't know who that is.
Tom Noonan.
God, do I have to Google this shit?
No. Let Calder explain this.
he's an actor. He played the villain in RoboCop 2. He was also the villain in Last Action Hero.
God damn it, Calder.
This is like the most obscure reference.
it is not. It is absolutely not.
He played the third member from the left in the Lollipop Guild in Wizard of Oz. You can see him in four frames of the film, but I tell you what, he really nails it.
RoboCop 2 is not an obscure film. The Last Action Hero is not obscure.
Most people have barely watched RoboCop 1.
Last Action Hero was a nationwide blockbuster film.
I just Googled it. He was in Monster Squad.
Yeah, he was Frankenstein.
None of this is running mainstream in my eyes yet. So.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's not as mainstream as Bloodsport.
None of this.
Yeah, Bloodsport's real mainstream.
Every
Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. That's all.
Every red-blooded American should have watched Bloodsport. It is a stone cold classic. As is this.
As is this actual Bloodsport. Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. Okay.
Oh, hold on. That was my seg into this.
Oh, sorry.
The music.
Okay.
Don't you recognize a seg when you hear it?
I don't understand segues anymore.
A segue. It's a seg. It's a.
Yeah, we are aware.
It's points for being funny, but I don't know. Let's compare.
Definitely hanging tough after his three over Simon Grimm.
Of course, the entrance music.
Yeah, but I kind of look at him as the Johnny Cage of Bloodsport in a way. But let me tell you, Tom Lawler's all business. 17 MMA fights, four-time All-American for the University of Central Florida with three NCAA national championships in amateur wrestling, black belt in Brazil.
Again, I think that might be Jeff Cobb's own entrance music, although I couldn't find one that sort of matched that when I was like looking for his stuff. So
I couldn't quite hear it, but... So I guess by default, it's going to be Lawler. He does get points for being funny.
Yeah. That song is just the best. I could not possibly have voted against it.
Around.
Oh, if somebody would have used that.
We got close. We did get close. I'm kind of going with Cobb. Both of them, like, I get it. I get the joke. Cobb has some, like, fine, you know, wrestling kind of entrance music. So I'm just going to. I'm going to give it to him. Neither of these are two of the weakest songs as far as I'm concerned. Of the show. So, sorry. I hate to be that
disagree.
Guy.
Disagree. Hard disagree.
next, we have the match of the night. Now, this cannot be understated or overstated. It can't be overstated how amazing it is.
Can't be Ryan stated.
You could understate it, but you'd be wrong. So it's Moxley versus Davey Boy Smith Jr., or as Robert likes to call him, Bodie McBoatface. Moxley walks out to Violet by Hole. I immediately lost my shit. I'm like, yeah, I love
it. That's something else.
Let's do this. David Boy Smith Jr. is a catch wrestling specialist, so this is not going to be an easy match. I think it was Josh Barnett who said on the mic, whenever he whatever Moxley lacks in technique, he makes up for in violence. Yeah, we saw that. This was gnarly. This was so fucking gnarly. I mean, Davey was elbowing Mox in the head several times, which then opened up his head. So then it was bloody, and then there was blood flying around, which then Davey Boy Smith Jr. at some point licks his fucking, he smears his hand in his blood and then licks it. I was like, ugh, ugh, gross. Ugh. Why?
So, a winning strategy. if you can absorb someone's strength.
Yeah, he's gonna suck his like war spirit out of him, you know, like his war chi, and like absorb his chi in that way. Or he's trying to make his opponent vomit. Like either way, I guess.
I mean, just desanguinating him is gonna get you the win.
Mox is just like then going nuts, striking, kicking. There's enormous hits and strikes and chokes and headbutts. God. Moxley eventually wins with a DDT that just knocked out David Boy Smith Jr.
And this was the thing that I was pointing to earlier that I liked when there was a bunch of like throws and then we finished it with a choke. This felt a little weird. It felt a little too pro wrestling that he DDTs him and knocks him out. What I would like to have seen is DDT, then climb on top of him and start, you know, ground and pounding until the ref says, okay, no, he can't defend himself. We have to call this thing off. Because it felt a little too contrived. But it's a choice, you know. And
I mean, you could say that he'd already been taking so many knocks to the head that this was the final blow.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure that was the argument made at the time.
It was weird to me when they did the head-to-head that they're both the same age because, like, I remember watching Davey Boy Smith, and I remember hearing then after that that, there, you know, his son, Harry, was going to become a professional wrestler. And so, you know, in my head, I'm still thinking of him as this, you know, young guy who's still coming up. He's been doing it for a long ass time now, and he's exactly the same age as Mox is. And it's just kind of like in my head, I was like, what? How is that a thing? But yeah. I liked this thing he did where Davey Boy like flings him and Mox like basically falls out of the ring and then just like stands up into the strut, you know, like a cat who just like falls off a thing and then just like walks away like that. I absolutely meant to do that. And that was the point where I was like, this is a really fun and interesting contrast of energies.
Yes.
Because Mox does not have the energy of anybody else in there, but it doesn't detract. He's so good and so composed that you're like, oh, wow, this is, you know, this is just a really cool thing. And then, like, I liked a lot of the pro wrestling counters. I felt like that was a different vibe than Romero Graham, you know, where like there's this sort of, you know, sort of a more wrestling MMA based counters. And I was into it. It's like, okay, yeah, this is, again, it's different and it still works. Yeah. So
definitely interesting to watch for sure.
Yeah. Like you had to eventually get Moxley into this setting because it made only too much sense and it was well worth it.
Yeah, and then when he was walking around after the match, I mean, just again, I can't imagine, you know, you're pumped with so much adrenaline. You can't just like be like, I'm done, you know, it's over, boop-a-doops. So watching him walk around the ring in circles and just like, you know, getting some of that energy out and like shouting at the, you know, the camera being like, you know, I'm not moonlighting. I'm not doing blood sport for a check, you know, it's just like... Mm-hmm. That very much is real in my mind because I can imagine.
I don't need the money. I'm donating my pay to the Boys and Girls Club of America.
I mean, yeah, I would be he would get over even more with
me.
Right
in my ear.
Yeah, I think that is fantastic. Because he keeps selling not just himself but the business, and like specifically, you know, this promotion, like getting over the idea that like, yeah, these people are here to fight, which is, you know, it's kind of not what most professional wrestling is anymore.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, like if you talk to why am I blanking on his name?
Ryan.
Say what's his face. Everyone will know who you mean.
No, you will, because.
But this ended up leading to a really exciting announcement, because Bloodsport 6, which takes place on April 8th, we're going to have Moxley versus Josh Barnett, which is such a long-awaited match.
Oh, boy.
And yay. I personally can't wait to see that. That's going to be really good.
Oh, boy. That is that is going to be really, really something. And I only hope that something happens like Jericho stepping in to replace Josh Barnett on commentary.
Oh, wow. That would be fun.
I would be into it. Here we go. Which song is better?
I mean, I already have my mind made up.
You already know.
And the sky was made of amethyst. And all the stars were just like little fish. You should learn when to go. You should learn how to say no.
I mean, that album is like the only album I like from Hole, but like it's fucking great. That song is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it took me a while to figure out what this song was, because I knew it. I know it in my bones. But I was like, what?
You fucking know it in your bones, man. This was like when the 90s Riot Girl, when it turned somehow slightly. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, boy.
What just happened?
It's a very long built into it. Though, it's Loverboy, Turn Me Loose, which is one of the greatest, just like 80s anthem kind of, you know.
Which I think really suits Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Yeah.
You know, like just if you want to look at, first of all, just the name itself, if you were to just see that name and then across from it, some sort of musical choice, this makes sense. This makes perfect sense.
And this really,
you never see the man in real life. If you just see it in print, you're like, of course.
And that song really also brings the goodwill of Wet Hot American Summer like as well. And, you know, I would otherwise love to vote for Courtney Love and Hole, but that Loverboy song is just too powerful.
Yeah,
I have to vote for Hole just because I can't not. It just, you know, I just can't. I was young. This was strong for me.
And you called her?
It's Loverboy for me.
Okay, that's I don't know why. I'm gonna have to. Yeah. I feel like I have to go with Loverboy, just because everybody's working for the weekend. Like truly one of the greatest songs ever written, so deeply ingrained in my heart that like I mean, I love Hole and I love this song, but
song is not that.
It's still Loverboy.
Okay.
Interesting.
Again, we have
unorthodox reasoning.
Well, again, we have the victor not winning the musical.
You know what? This is a hard business. And sometimes, you know, these kind of things are going to happen. Losers.
It's true. Though that is an ironclad fact.
We'll have to wait till Bloodsport 6 to, you know, like maybe some of these people can get their win back.
I can't wait.
Anyway, thanks for listening. Join us Thursday morning after AEW Dynamite for our regular show. We'll probably keep doing Bloodsport because it's real fun shows, man.
Yeah, we'll bring it to you hot and fresh each time. Yeah. Hot eats cool treats, baby.
and we're going to jar the previous episodes of Bloodsport as well to enjoy some off-season preserves.
At AE Doubleback on
Twitter,
which call it on Twitter, and AE_Doubleback and on Instagram. And
we have a YouTube video with Josh Burnett, our interview. Go watch that. It's really good.
Bye.